Max Kuhner is so many things. Max Kuhner is not only the top-level rider we all know, he is also a very sharp businessman. For decades now, and alongside his riding life, he has been leading a large financial company that is based in Germany and Switzerland. After founding, growing and perpetuating his business, Max Kuhner set himself the goal of becoming one of the world's top riders. At the age of 50, Max Kuhner is currently ranked 8th in the world ranking list. German by birth, Max Kuhner took the Austrian nationality in 2015. He then represented Austria at several championships, including the Trian World Championships, where he took an individual 6th place with Chardonnay, the same horse with whom he ended up 9 at the World Cup Circuit final in 2019 and achieved his finest performances. This year at the Horseshoe Jumping in Geneva, he took part for the first time in one of the world's most coveted events, the Rolex Top 10 presented by the EGRC. Max Kuhner has the fundamental qualities needed to combine business and top-level sport, intelligence, hard work, ambition and rigor. Every stage of his life has been guided by the goals he has set himself. Max Kuhner knows and recognizes the importance of defending the values of our sport. Equally committed to his professional and sporting life, he has also played a significant role in the International Equestrian Federation and in the International Jumping Riders Club. We were delighted to meet him and discover his multifaceted all-round riders at the Horseshoe Jumping in Geneva a few months ago. I hope you will enjoy this episode, and for French speakers, the French version will be available in a week's time, so please be patient.
This episode is brought to you thanks to the support of CWD, and you can easily guess why. Max and CWD have been partnering for many years now. Their collaboration is nothing but logical. As you will discover while listening to this episode, Max is a very analytic person. He assesses and analyzes every aspect of his training, up to the smallest details. And this high standard expectations obviously applies to his equipment. In his quest for performance, he has granted the brand his trust and confidence. We asked Max Kuhner to tell us how important are CWD saddles in his performance, and here is what he said.
CWD is my partner for saddles and bridles for now more than even 10 years. They are very engaged, helping me with the perfect fitting for the saddles and the bridles. So that's why they are the company I trust in the sport.
Hi Max, thank you so much, thank you a million for being here recording this episode with us. So if you already knew the media, so in this podcast we aim to have authentic and very free conversation with equestrians to dive into their life journey, to understand who they are, what is their vision, what are their challenges, and to eventually better understand how they become the persons and the rider, the athletes they are today. Max, this afternoon, here in the Rolex Lounge at the CHI of Geneva, will ask you to tell your story, which I'm convinced will captivate our audience, as we happen to know very little about you. We have checked interviews online today to prepare the conversation, but there are very few articles about you. So just before you can start talking, let me take a couple of minutes to introduce you to our listeners. So you were born in Munich in Germany, 1974. You started to ride ponies because of the weather not being snowy enough so you could ski. And at the age of 16, you already were winning your first championship. After high school, and this is quite unusual, you decided to pursue studies, and all along your years at the university, you juggled between classes and horses. Is that correct?
Yes.
As if chasing success in one professional life was not very hard already, you are today no less than both a full-time entrepreneur and professional, and a professional and top-level show jumper. So talking about your record, what a year You were 7th individual at the last European Championships in Milan and bronze with the Austrian team. And last year was not bad either, as you ranked 6th individual at the WEG in Herning and 9th in the World Cup final in Leipzig. Max, how has all of this started, from not being able to ski one day and going to ride a pony instead for the first time, to being here participating yesterday for the first time in the Rolex Top 10?
I think there have been many small steps in between. And immediately when I had the first contact with the horse, I really liked it. I was passionate about it. But my parents also liked horses, like hobby riders. So they liked the passion about horses, but they were not really into the sport. So like it is when you start the sport as an amateur, you have no clue what's coming to you, and
it's a trap.
what effort it will be, but that's also sometimes helpful. I loved the work with the horses, and that was more or less the beginning, just the passion for the horses.
And from that passion to the top level, can you tell us a little bit the main steps of your career?
Yeah, I think it's started with a pony, which we shared with 4 other kids together. And there we got a little bit teached. And the name of the pony was Bobby. I remember my first small competition. It was like a friend's show. And I have never jumped before, and there were, I think, 4 cavalettis, which you have to jump over. I fall off 4 times at each cavaletti because the pony made quite a good jump, and I was not able to sit it, so I fall down every time. I think this was my first competition. But I still got a ribbon, and I think, okay, that's something good. it's a long story altogether. Honestly, as a child, or when I was passionate for the sport, I never thought that we will get there where we are. You know, you have your aims and what you're looking for, and you also sometimes, I wrote it on the paper. That's has all been taking place so far, and quite a lot more. And when you start as an amateur, when you are not like in a professional family, also like to get to know the sport and to get to know the horses and to understand it, there's a lot of experience behind it. On this way, I did 9 times something wrong before I maybe did it the 10th times then right. So many things were just on the way, experience way, to get to know it and also to understand the horses on this way. And on this way there were some people really helping me. I remember one trainer, a national trainer, but he was very good. His name was Klaus-Peter Wallner. He was a very good trainer. No, or even before that, I have to mention Elisabeth Freifrau von Hoberg. She was a pony breeder, and at that point of time my parents wouldn't buy me a own pony, and then I begged her that I could ride her ponies, and then I could ride one pony, and she taught me every day, and she also taught me a lot of respect for the animal and also a lot of discipline, like we had to clean the tack after each riding and a lot of things around which also need discipline when you work together with a horse or an animal. And after that, then later, I got my first horse, and we got the trainer, Klaus-Peter Wallner. I think I learned a lot from him. He was a great teacher, also a bit hard sometimes, like the old typical old riding instructors, a lot of screaming and
crying.
And yeah, crying of course also. Yeah, was a part of it. But and then later I had from while to while opportunity to train with Franke Slotak, or also for a few times with Lutka, and some more people helping there on this long way. And then especially on the show, you're always watching there. And like me as a kid, I was always standing on the warm-up and watching the other riders and then following them to the course and how it goes and trying to get all the information and all the questions. Or I could, my grandma always videoed me all the World Cups on Eurosport, and then I could see them on the videotape and go forward, backwards, and then I make my notes about it and my thoughts, and I try to learn something about the sport.
Who were the riders that you were watching at that time?
There were some riders I really liked to watch. For sure some German riders, Franke Slotak, Lutka Beerbaum. Thomas Fuchs was also always one rider I really liked to watch. Michel Robert, I always liked to watch. But there were many more.
Eric Navé
also, somebody great to watch. And then also some other riders which are like, they typically have their own way of riding. As example, Bosti. But when you really go into it and when you look at it, he's always, the riding is in favor for the horse. He makes it, in the end, he makes it easy for the horse. And that's what it's all about, The rider gives the horse the ability, you can do that. And you can do it better with me than without me. And that's also the case with Bosti. So it doesn't look very classically.
Max, you have been riding at the top level of this sport for decades now, and I feel like we know you very little. But each time we go to see you, can be at the conference yesterday or in an interview, you look very studious, very serious, calm and kind. What else should we know about you? Who do you think you really are as a person? It's not an easy question.
No. I don't think I'm just a kind person. In the end, I have I'm quite analytical before I get an opinion. I really like to look into it and understand something before I make my opinion and I stand behind something. And like when you talk about the General Assembly later, when I think about something with points or something, then I write it down and I calculate and put the things together for myself to get an opinion. But once when I put this all together and when I think, I have a lot of data, then I make my opinion, and then I'm also quite strong in the opinion in the end. It's always a good possibility to convince me or to tell me maybe something I did wrong, or I haven't got the final information about something. But I like to have my point of view based on good information and on facts.
Are you saying you're a bit stubborn?
Yeah, once I'm really convinced about something, I'm a bit stubborn, for sure. And then also, when I have this opinion, I also go for it, I have to say. Because, I also run a business, and we run a stable with nearly 100 horses. You can't just let the things always go. Some things are good when they just go, but some other things you have to take care about it. And also be responsible for it. And that's also what I feel sometimes for the sport, when I think that some things are not developing in the right direction, then I feel kind of responsibility, because it's passion, but it's also part of our life, and yeah, then I feel a responsibility about that.
This responsibility you're talking about makes you become a genuine ambassador for the sport. We have watched you yesterday defend your opinion at the assembly, and we also have read articles about you where you claim that riders should tell their opinion and have a voice to move the sport forward. Is this why you initially joined the IJRC board, and do you feel that you want to be an ambassador for the sport? You want to help the sport go in the right direction?
Of course, it's important for me that the sport goes in the right direction. Absolutely. Yeah, and I feel naturally this responsibility. And I also have to say that you also have to make some compromise, because like participating here on the show and being with the horses, we have to be close to the horses, also from the atmosphere and everything. So if I have a really big discussion or something like that, and then half an hour later I go on a horse and should jump a big track, the horse will immediately feel that something is not okay with you. And then I feel guilty because I put the horse in a bad situation, or the horse feels bad because he knows I had a discussion before. And that's probably the same a lot of riders feel, and then they also say, because of that, they say, oh, then I better stay away and I take care about my things and I see what happens. Yeah, on the other hand, we also have to take care that it's going in the right direction. And speaking about horses, you also need to understand the horses, and therefore you also need to be close to the horses and work with the horses. At the moment, I think we have a lot of rules or ideas made on a table from people who would probably not be able to go in the stable and clean a horse, tack it up or put it on a truck and drive with it somewhere, you know. But they have a very clear opinion how everything should be. But they would not be able, for sure not the sensitive horses we compete here, to do anything with them.
We will talk about all of these topics, Max, but I just want to talk about you first. So you're not a professional rider, as you said, you run a business, and you had and still have a professional life on the side with a successful company. How did you define your professional career? Can you tell us about your side business?
I'm entrepreneur in the finance business.
Yes.
We have companies in Germany and in Switzerland, together with people who are also in the sport.
Okay.
And we mainly got to know also through the sport. Yeah, the different in Switzerland, the business we do is a bit different in Switzerland and in Germany. In Switzerland, it's mainly car leasing, and in Germany, we finance a lot of forest machineries. There we are one of the market leaders. We are active in niche markets.
You actually are very few top-level riders to combine sport with another professional life. From France, we can almost only think of Philippe Leoni, who, just like you, is a very brilliant businessman. How each side of your life supports and influences the other?
It's two different lives, I have to say, but it's also like when you go in the one life, then you have a holiday from the other life.
You don't.
No, yeah, it's a little bit, because you also have a little bit a rest with the one, and then you come back. And for me, it has developed in this way, but it would never work without the amazing people I have around me. I think in the end, whatever I do, it's people business for me, because I need to have the people around me I can 100% trust. I can't do the things all myself, and I need to have a good communication and a good knowledge with the people about how it should be and how it should run, and then I need to trust the people around me.
And very concretely, logistically, how does it work? Because we are used to hear about the very demanding schedule of athletes and equestrians participating in more than 40, 45, maybe 50 shows a year, plus going to local shows to develop youngsters, plus handling all the marketing signs with media, events, press conferences. How do you get that unsolvable puzzle to actually work?
My daily business when I'm not on the show is that I get in the morning to the stable. We live with the horses together under one roof. And the aim is always to leave between 9 and 10 from the yard to the office.
So you ride the horses before?
I ride the horses before, but as late as possible. In the summer, it's really nice to go out in the morning when the sun comes up. But in the winter, it's sometimes hard. And then we have quite a clear schedule also for the whole team, what to do with the horses and how the day is going on. And then I go to the office, and then there I have meetings and a schedule.
So it's not a part-time job. You're saying full-time at the office, yeah. Like a complete day.
Yeah. No, I'm CEO, or in Switzerland, like you say, Verwaltungsratsvorsitzender. And the time when I'm not in the office, I'm nearly always available for everybody. So that's something I approach to myself, that okay, as long as I'm traveling, but everybody always, there should never something wait for me. I never wanted to be the last one in anything. But since it is also my own business and I developed it, we have a lot of high technical solutions with good software and good ways how we deal it. Like, I'm also involved in a lot of credit decisions where we have to check a client or a business case. And this is all prepared in an email, and I can push on links so I get immediately the next information, or I can make an approval for that. So I can fully work technical also. I'm not in the office.
So you would be here riding 1, 2, 3 classes a day, plus warming up the horses in the morning, plus working for your side business?
Yeah, at least for sure during the week till Friday. In Germany, the business is closed on the weekend. Okay, in Switzerland, it's also open on Saturday. But that's how it works.
And you have for sure a personal life because you have a wife who is a Grand Prix dressage rider. She has also had a very successful sport career, and she works with you. We can only assume that she has been a real asset in your organization. To what extent has she been a cornerstone of your success?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like everybody around me is really working with me, and the whole family is passion driven by horses. Yeah, we got to know through the horses, my wife and me, and she's also fully in horses. Before the kids start to ride, she helped to ride my horses and flat and worked my horses. Now she's more the rider from my kids. And all the kids' horses are worked really good. They really work well for the kids.
We can only assume.
But also the kids are really crazy about horses, you know. It's like they also get up early in the morning and ride a little bit, and
What is it, you have a dressage rider at home that's able to flat work your horse the way you can be better in the ring? That must be very useful.
We had to adapt the dressage a little bit to the show jumping style. I think the base is very helpful, but then it has to be a little bit adapted to the show jumping style. But for sure, it's really good. And, you know, it's also okay, we do the sport, but the main thing from us has always been to build up horses and to bring horses in the sport. And there, the flat and the dressage is also a big part of it. I think also for the whole body of the horses and the long-term healthiness, it's important that they are also properly worked on the flat.
As you said, you work a lot with young horses, breeding some, but also buying and showing them yourself. And I will quote some words of yours. I read in an article, you said, "My main goal is to advance the young horses, which we choose between 3 and 5 years of age, either those that are born at home or those we buy for the national or international show jumping competition." How is your system built? Can you tell us how you source, buy, own the horses?
Yeah, I get this question quite often.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I think I get it nearly on every week, also a lot from colleagues about young horses. Okay, the one thing is the choosing a young horse, but the other thing is like then working with the horse over a long term. No Grand Prix horse is quickly done. It's always a lot of work and behind that. When I choose a young horse, I have some facts which are important for me. The movement is important for me. The body of the horse is important for me. The mentality is important for me. The blood, I like horses which have a lot of blood. I don't like people to carry to work. And I don't like horses to carry to work. I like the ones I can break a little bit and say, hey, it's okay, it's enough for today, keep it easy. But I never like to push somebody to work. I just don't like it. Yeah, then it's also, the most important is always the feeling you have when you sit on the horse. And I have to say, quite often I sit on a horse and I start to trot and I know it is something or it is not something.
Even before jumping?
Yes.
Like from the way the horse moves?
Yeah.
You know, if you have the great...
The way he walks, he moves, he... Even how he behaves already when you see him and...
In the very same article you said also, what I care about the most is not about climbing the ranking list, but I focus on doing the great job on making my horses grow at best. Now that you are among the top 10 in the ranking list, has your standpoint changed? Will you start focusing on the ranking list points and providing efforts to climb the ladder up to the top?
Of course, it's nice when I'm good in the ranking, but honestly, for me, it's even more fulfilling and satisfying if I brought a new horse on the next level. Like, I just jumped EIC Dalobe in the 160 class, and he's an 8-year-old. We have him since he's 6, and now it's probably the last show for him this year, and now he finished with a 4th place in a 160 class in Geneva, and he made it really good with no effort and relaxed, and that gives me a lot, I have to say. That's an upcoming horse for the future, which we produced, where we started from 130, and now he's there and has still a lot before him. That gives me personally a lot.
And how would you define the horsemanship? Because this is a question we ask to a lot of people, but like, all riders have a different vision of what it is to be a horseman. So what would be your definition?
Horsemanship is the right answer to a horse at the right moment.
Okay. That's interesting. So being able to ask the right thing to the horse, the right way, and respect also his timing?
Yeah, absolutely. Timing is very important in all of these things. But it's sometimes today we think it's only soft always, yeah, but it's not only soft. Sometimes you also have to be consequent in a way, you know. It's like you don't achieve something when you don't have a clear aim where you want to go. But I think that there is a point when, also, or I have to say, the horses I compete in the big sport, I have the feeling they really like to do it and they want to do it. And otherwise, anyway, it's not possible. They learn over the time that it's fun for them and they like it. For example, Electric Blue, he's the horse who always wants to go in the ring. Sometimes when you warm him up, he stops at the entrance and then he likes to go in the ring. It's not that he doesn't, like other horse, doesn't want to go in the ring. He likes to go in the ring there because that's his platform. That's where he...
That's a playground.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There he feels something which gives him something positive.
Back to the IGRC. Yesterday you announced your decision to quit the IGRC board. Can you tell us the reasons?
Why I quit?
Yeah.
Because I did it many years, I don't know, 15 years now, okay, or something like that. I was also
in the
jumping committee together with John Roach and John Madden. I think I put some effort in and some statements, and I think it's also time now for some other people, maybe also younger people, new ideas coming up. I will still have an opinion and something, but I think it's time. And also, time is what I have. I don't have enough time, always. Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. And so I think it's a good time for somebody new to do something new. And I'm happy when I can also spend a little bit more time with my kids and my family instead of that.
We talked to Kevin yesterday about the IGRC for the Organization of Geneva, and we asked him, because he felt a little bit tired, or he looked like he was tired. Have you also, at some point, felt a bit tired to be advocating, to be struggling to get your ideas validated, you know, by the institutions, by the federation, and not being heard enough or not enough to get the sports develop in the direction you wanted?
Yes, of course, a little bit. But and I think, you know, like the Riders Club should just be somebody like a consultant. But we should not fight for things. We should be consultant, and we don't need to prove anything or something like that. That's not our part. We don't get a salary for it, and it's not our full-time job. So we do it as a
volunteer,
you know, with passion for the sport, which doesn't mean that everything is right what we say, you know. There could also be a good argument why something is maybe not right or is wrong, but it's not our job to fight against somebody who's paid for it, you know, and who's doing this as a main job. They should take the good things out of it, or they should come back when something is not good. But yeah,
one of the options would be for the FEI to hire maybe riders or retired riders or riders who do not want to compete anymore, to be able to embody the rest of the international riders and to bring the experience and to bring the insight.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think, that you brought up. But for sure, one thing is very important. We need to keep some of the experience in the job, because it's not all done on a table. You need to have the experience, and you need to have worked with the horses for many years, till you have the experience.
And at this conference, it was said that the meritocratic sport was disappearing, and Mr. Maigret, president of the Honours Club, asked riders to not forget that merit should always come first before money. Can you tell us how you feel about this?
I'm quite sure that none of the top riders is getting rich with the sport, because whatever we have, we put it back to the horses. everything around horses and everything is quite expensive. And I also think for no rider, prize money is enough to pay the stable. Maybe there's one or another for once a year or something like that, but not in general at all. It's never enough to pay the costs of the stable. And it's just always covering the costs for that. And you don't do this with the horses for money. That's never the ambition, I think.
And do you think that today a young riders with talent, with ambition, motivation, but with no money, you know, and no background or family to help cover the cost for the first horses or for the stables, can achieve to get professional or to become professional and to reach the top level?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. For sure, everybody who is born in a rider's family and they have the network and the experience how it works. When I look at my kids, you know, she's like a full professional with 13 years. But she was grown up with it. She's more professional than I've been professional with 30 years. She tells me when I have a bad show, she tells me, oh, that's how it is, and next time goes on again.
So for you this is just a shortcut.
Yeah. And when you see as example like Richard Vogel, who is at the moment from the German riders, I think the leading rider in the ranking list, he's just an example like that. How he did it, you know, with everything.
So Max, over the last couple of years you have had incredible successes, sixth individual at the European, seventh at the World Equestrian Games. Yesterday you won your first top 10. What is missing now to finally get an individual medal?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we just have to go on. We've been now, the last two times we've been sixth, in Tryon we've been sixth, in Herning we've been sixth, and we just have to go on, and we see. We just have to do it even a little better.
There is the last topic I wanted to talk about you, but I don't know where are my notes. But anyway, I heard yesterday that to buy horses, you use figures. You use, like, I don't know, a software or an app or I don't know what. And you said earlier that you like to analyze, you like to have data and figures. So how does it work to buy a horse? How can you measure all the qualities that we're looking for when buying a horse with data?
Yeah, that's not working.
Okay. That's a point.
But you made your homework, I see. indeed, you know, you need to start with a selection of horses. And there are a lot of horses and you can't look at all of them. So therefore, for the selection of horses where we look into it, we use kind of software. And now it's like we aren't there yet, but when we have like quality criteria, I call it quality criteria, for example, to measure the time a horse needs from the takeoff till the landing and things like that, we will even be a big step further for that. But at the moment, it's just a selection of horses which shows up, look, you should have a look at that horse. And that's what we do. And then we look at the horses and then we go on.
That's super funny because a couple of months ago, I think, some business partner I work with called me on the phone. So he's not a rider, or he used to be a, like, amateur rider, but anytime he has a question and he has an idea, he called me because he had heard about an idea of doing, or a startup doing that, you know, gathering data and figures to be able to buy a horse. And he asked me, what do you think about that? So I just gave it a thought, and I was like, there's no way we can measure like the willingness of a horse, or there's no way we can measure the fact that he will be tough, you know, regarding the work, regarding the jumps and everything. And I was very skeptical about being able to develop a software that could detect better than a rider, or better than the eye, or better than the feeling we have in the saddle, if a horse is able to do great.
Yeah. I would say it could be helpful for the selection.
Yeah.
But the final decision you have to make anyway by your feeling.
And you said, you know, earlier that once you are on the saddle, you have the feeling, and you need this feeling to be able to.
There's a good example. I don't know if you remember PSG Final. He was one of my best horses I rode. He was, as an 8-year-old, he jumped clear in the Nations Cup final, and he was second in Stuttgart in the World Cup. Then he was sold to Kian O'Connor. But this horse, in the beginning, when I got him, you know, I just had a real... I saw the horse and I liked it, but I could not tell you why in the end. And then a lot of people ask me, but what are you doing with the horse, the way he's jumping and things like that? So I just have a real good feeling, and I go for it. And he was then one of the best horses in the world.
So, Max, we are here in Geneva. What are the next goals?
Tomorrow, the Grand Prix is for sure a goal. I just rode Electric Blue. He feels really good. Mm. He's always a bit shy here in the first rounds, but yesterday it was already a lot better. He finished sixth in the second qualification, so I'm looking forward to tomorrow. For sure it will be a very big course, but I have a very good partner for it, and I really look forward to it.
Are we going to be able to see you in Paris?
I hope so. That's definitely on the plan. Definitely on the plan.
So all eyes on Paris.
Paris is for sure the big aim for next year. And we have quite a lot meetings already with my Austrian colleagues to make a plan for everybody until Paris. So that we are a small group of horses and riders in Austria, but we try to make it happen in Paris.
We hope so.
Max, we hope to see you tomorrow in the jump off, but most of all, we hope to see you next year in Paris.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.